Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Last week on Sunday afternoon, I was visiting with some friends and we were having a little conversation about some things. And in the middle of it, he said this. He said, well, you know, Psalm 27 is my favorite psalm. And as soon as he said it, I mean, I just realized in that moment that it would certainly be one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. And for the last couple of days, I've been thinking about it. And I just felt from the Lord that tonight, God wants to give all of us a word of encouragement, a word that's going to strengthen us, a word that's going to help us behold his beauty and understand him in a better way by talking about Psalm 27. And you know, for some of you, you may be experiencing a problem in your life right now and you're wondering how to solve it. And if we're not careful, what happens is we're more concerned about getting our problem solved than we are really coming to know the problem solver in a better way. And so tonight I want to talk to you about God's presence and our problems. And we're going to look at Psalm 27. I mean, all of us face problems, life's filled with problems. And sometimes the more challenging the problem is, those problems begin to work us. And the response is fear. The response is anxiety. The response is you're not sleeping at night. Maybe the response is you are irritable. You know, it's interesting. I was looking up, how does the world say to handle our problems? Because the way the world would tell us to handle our problems and the way God tells us to handle our problems are completely opposite. This is the world's advice. Number one, realize that thing you're worried about may not happen, which I think that's true. It might not happen, and that's not bad advice. Number two, consider that it might not be as bad as you think it's going to be. Number three, recognize you're wasting your time because worrying doesn't get you anywhere, and that as well is true. And number four, visualize a satisfying future and focus on that future. All of those things, certainly there could be a nugget of wisdom in them and they would have their place as we think about problems. But what I find so interesting is none of those things are how the psalmist views his problem. In fact, the Bible doesn't give that kind of advice. When you come to Psalm 27, it's almost as if David is visualizing the worst thing that could happen to him. Listen to what he writes in verse 10. Even if my father and mother abandon me, we have no indication in scripture that his father and mother abandoned him. But he's saying, even if my family writes me off. In verse 3, he says, though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. He doesn't say he has an army surrounding him. He says, even if I am attacked. What is David doing? What is it that he's telling us? He's doing, obviously, the opposite of the world's advice. He's actually imagining the worst thing that could happen to him. And he's saying, there is a way to not only have your problem solved, but to know peace of mind and heart in the midst of the worst that life can offer us. What is David's plan for dealing with problems? How does he face them? I'm gonna give you three words, three words. And I hope, even though you're home and you're watching online, I would really encourage you to write these scriptures down. I would encourage you to write the words down. And then I would especially encourage you tomorrow morning when you have your devotional time or whenever you have your devotional time tomorrow and for the next couple of days, maybe touch base with these verses. Think about what's happening as you spend time with the Lord, because the way we spend time with the Lord has everything to do with the presence of God and the peace of God and the power of God we experience from the Lord. The first word, dwelling. David writes this in Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord. That's amazing. David, what do you want? You want victory over your enemies? No. I want, there's only really one thing I want. What I want is that I might dwell in the house of the Lord. What does it mean to dwell in the house of the Lord? I would suggest that David's not speaking about a physical location. For starters, there was no temple, just the tabernacle, and the priest did not live in the tabernacle. What he's talking about here is not a physical location. What he's talking about is a spiritual experience. He's saying, what I want is to continually experience God's presence in the same way as if I was just right there in his temple. Let me put it this way. He wants to continually see God's face in the situations of his life, in the time he spends with God. The psalmist puts it this way. Psalm 105, verse 4, I love this verse. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence, the ESV says. The NIV puts it this way, and is really truer to the Hebrew, seek his face always. The word translated as presence is literally the Hebrew word for face. And David is saying, I want to be in your presence in such a way that I'm not seeing you from a distance. I'm seeing you face to face. You know, here's the thing. For you and I to have a relationship with somebody, we've got to be able to see their face. Our team led worship, and if we had an in-person service, you could have said that you were in our team's presence, but you couldn't say that you've met them unless you had a face-to-face encounter. I mean, the face is the relational gate to the heart. David is saying, I want a face-to-face relationship with the Lord. What I want is I want to see God working in my life, up close, personal. I want his presence there. I love what he says in verse 8. My heart says of you, seek his face. I want to ask you, what is your heart telling you? Is you're facing a problem? Is your heart telling you, I need somebody to help me get out of this? Is your heart looking for other things? Is your heart filled with anxiety? Or is your heart telling you, you know what I need? What I need is to see God's face right now in this situation. I need that, and that's the one thing I need. And honestly, it is the only thing I need. Seek his face. Then he says, your face, O Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. He's saying, God, in all of life, I've got to see you. I want to see you with me. I want to see you close. I want to have conversation with you. Do not reject me or forsake me, oh God, my Savior. Back to verse 4, he says, one thing I ask of the Lord, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, it's very interesting. In the Hebrew, it's a super intense Hebrew construction. So you could read it like this. One, only one thing I want. In other words, it's not like, you know, I guess maybe one thing I want. He's saying, no. There's just one thing. There's really just one thing. There's really only one thing I really want. And that's an unbroken face-to-face fellowship with God. That's beautiful. That's powerful. Honestly, whenever any of us experience that, that is a game changer in any situation or circumstance we face in life. One thing I ask, I want to see your face in my life. You say, how do you do that? And that leads me to the second word, gazing. Look at what he says in verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, then watch this, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. What does it mean to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord? David could have just as easily said, I want to look at the Lord, but instead he says, I want to gaze. Literally, you could almost, in our day, we don't use the word gaze a lot. We'd use the word stare. He's saying, I want to stare at the Lord. It means to look at something and drink in everything about that thing you're looking at. To look and look and look. So that image is literally burned in your mind. So it'll always be there for recall. And in David's case, he's saying, I want to see. I want to gaze upon. I want to stare at the beauty of God. This isn't some vision of brightness he's talking about. And David isn't saying, I don't want to just abstractly or even theologically understand God. What he's saying is, I want an actual heart experience with God. I love what John Owen, the Puritan, says in his work, Dominion of Sin and Grace. If we settle for mere mental notions about Christ as doctrine, we shall find no transforming power given to us. If all you have in your relationship with God is what you know about God, then you will miss one of the most wonderful parts of a walk with God, and that's knowing him personally and experiencing his transforming power, because knowledge alone will not give you that. He goes on to write, but when our affections cleave to him with full purpose of heart and our minds fill up with thoughts and delight in him, then change in character will proceed to purify us and sometimes fill us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Gazing on God is not just saying, well, you know, I know he's all wise. I know he's all powerful. I know he's all knowing. I know he's loving. I know he's holy. We need to know those things. I'm not saying we shouldn't know those things, but this is more than knowing. This is meditating on those things. For example, it's meditating on the love of God so much that we begin to feel his love. That's what it means to gaze upon God, to meditate on who he is until it becomes so real to us, not just in our head, but in our heart, that we literally experience his presence and his power as we meditate on who he is. One of the best ways, honestly, to do that is through worship. You begin to praise him, and as you're praising him, you know, good praise is going to give you solid theology about who he is. And as you begin to sing and many times repeat some of the phrases that have theology and you're thinking about that, you're in his presence. Now you're beginning to gaze upon his beauty and experience in that moment the transforming presence of Christ in your life. I mean, honestly, this is how people who are in love with one another do it. You constantly tell that person how wonderful they are. And as you tell them how wonderful they are, you begin to feel in your heart not only a connection to them, but you begin to feel in your heart the wonder of who they are. In fact, I would say right now, couples, you need to be thinking about that. Husbands and wives, you need to be thinking, what are you saying to your spouse? You can literally create a connection and experience that connection by what you meditate on and what you say to your spouse. Well, back to what the psalmist is saying. When you meditate on the Lord, when you gaze on him, what happens in that moment, and this is so transformative, you will find that God is more than just useful. You will find him satisfying and beautiful. And you'll no longer just be giving him your laundry list of needs, but you'll find yourself enjoying his presence. Well, let me give you one last word. The word is seeking. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and now watch this, and to seek him in his temple. The word seek means, in the Hebrew, it means to go and get counsel. That's why some translations will translate this verse as to inquire of him, to seek the Lord and to say, Lord, show me what your will is in this situation. So you're facing a problem. Ask him what his will is. David is saying, I'm not going to worry about that army that surrounds me or the people who have abandoned me. I'm going to ask God, what is your will for me right now? Whether it's in this situation or what do you want me to do, God? Because that's what I'm going to do in this situation. You know, our problem is this, that we generally want our will more than we want his will. And that results in a lack of peace. Instead, what we have to do is dwell, that's have a face-to-face relationship with God, gaze, have the reality of who he is become so real to us that our heart feels his presence and his closeness to us. And then seek, that is to know and to follow God's will for our life. And when you dwell, and when you gaze, and when you seek, then no problem is going to rock you, shake you, or distance you from God. The more we learn to dwell, to gaze, to seek, the less anxiety and worry will find a place in our heart and our life. And I would suggest as well, the more readily we will see the deliverance of God in our life. This psalm has these words in it toward the end of the psalm. It says this in verse 13, I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That idea of waiting is have a hope-filled anticipation for the good thing God's going to do in your life. Whatever you're going through, look to him. Seek his face always. Gaze on him. Just inquire what his will is. And the peace of God and the presence of God will fill your heart and mind. And the solution that only he can provide to your problem will take place.